This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Scott till 4, me and Tyler Scott till 4 o'clock on the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM, as we've been covering the news of the day, the local aspects of the Rockets, the Texans, and of course your Houston Astros, and then supplementing it with what else is going around the world. This is coming in, by the way, Derek King, a former University of Houston Cougar and a local kid right out of the Houston area. Now with the University of Miami Hurricanes as quarterback. This is very interesting. We've been talking about the fact that he's been doing very well and probably making a whole lot more money staying in college for one more year than if he was the practice squad quarterback or a quarterback on an NFL roster. Well, now it gets even more interesting as he inks a deal with another professional sports team. The NHL's Florida Panthers have signed the University of Miami quarterback as he becomes the first college player to sign an endorsement deal with an NHL or other major sports franchise team. He is going to appear at Panthers games and events, engage with fans on social media, and produce digital content. It also calls for him to work with the Panthers to develop a merchandise collection, a co-branded art deal, and his own exclusive concession menu item to be available at all Panthers home games and events for the coming season. Financial terms not disclosed, but interesting on so many levels, because as Tyler and I were talking about this during the break, so what happens if you got a multi-sport athlete? And we've seen them throughout the years, from Bo Jackson to Deion Sanders to Frank Thomas, who played both football and baseball, to so many other guys. And all of a sudden, you got a guy that gets an NIL deal while, say, he's playing football, but he's also a baseball player. And at a certain point, he realizes maybe it's even during the season that football's not for me anymore, and I'm going to just focus on baseball, but he already has an NIL deal with a baseball team. Does that suddenly muddy the waters? And I kid kind of tongue-in-cheek and say he's already signed a deal. Is that tampering if then he has to go through the draft process? But it is going to make for a very, very interesting conversation amongst the NCAA when they start talking about the NIL deals, if they're going to allow these kind of deals with professional teams in other sports, when we know college athletes play more than one sport. So it's crazy. I don't know if anybody else is going to catch on to this. I'm sure they will. I'm sure it's going to be a topic of discussion at some point. But as it relates to Derek King, it says, Derek is a superstar both on and off the field. We were excited to reach and engage South Florida sports fans in a new way through his collaborative partnership, the Florida Panthers chief strategy officer Sam Dorr said. So the Panthers, first U.S. major pro sports team to develop a plan in which college athletes could align with them as part of the new NIL ruling. It's crazy to say the least, because I think it's going to send up some red flags, and it's going to cause some people to have to deal with this in a different light when it comes to multi-sport athletes. So I don't know how it's all going to fare, and I don't know what the final outcome is going to be, but it does make for interesting conversation there. And I get it. He's not going to be a hockey player. Derek King evidently isn't, hockey background. Sure, I get it. But I'm just saying, as it relates to going forward, opening the door for other franchises to get involved, we know there are certain teams. We know there's a certain way of doing things. You look at the old Celtics with Red Auerbach, who created the way of getting Larry Bird a year early. You look at the way a team like the Raiders wouldn't be, or the Yankees wouldn't be opposed, and we've seen the Yankees do these things, even as it relates to John Elway and in other situations, where if the Yankees know that there's a multi-sport player, and right now maybe he's playing football or basketball only, but maybe there's a way that he's interested in, switching sports. Pat Connaughton of the Bucks was a big-time pitcher for the Orioles that threw 90-plus, and at a certain point he decided, no more baseball, I'm going to play basketball at Notre Dame, ends up working out for him and he's got an NBA career and just won a championship ring. But if, when Pat Connaughton was at Notre Dame, the Yankees came a-calling and said, hey, by the way, if you change your mind, let's do a little NIL deal for now with a wink-wink for later that if you change your mind, we'd love to have you. I think it's at least something worth looking at when you start trying to keep everything from a logistics standpoint above board. That's something to consider as well. So that's one of the other major news stories of the day. As I look at the front page of ESPN, we already covered the Rockies fan. Lamar Jackson, still iffy on whether he wants the vaccine despite his second bout of COVID, as he's now back for the Ravens. And again, the choice is an individual one, and everybody's going to make theirs. So we'll see how that progresses. In terms of the New York Football Giants, Saquon Barkley has been activated. He's back at practice for the first time since coming off of all the issues that he had in dealing with his knee last year in the surgery. And, of course, as we related to the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson is back practicing after 5 days off. And we discussed in detail why and what the purpose is and why would you do something like that. Lane Kiffin, 30 pounds lighter, is preaching accountability for his Ole Miss Rebels and saying that when he looked at his videos of him speaking, getting ready for the bowl game last year, it looked like he was an anaconda that had just swallowed a deer and hadn't digested it yet because his neck was that big. So if he was going to hold his players accountable, he was going to be accountable himself. Instead, his dad's like 81 years old, and the fact that he's still in great shape and that he didn't look like he was, he had to be accountable to. He lost 30 pounds. That's his way of holding his players accountable. Good for him. And, of course, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony was yesterday. Everybody gave their speeches, Charles Woodson, Peyton Manning, and others. Tom Brady, good for him, was in attendance, and Peyton took a couple of jabs at him. But the Hall of Fame induction class now opens the door for the 2022 potential class, Tyler, with implications if you're a Texans fan. Because now you turn the page and realize that there are plenty of wide receivers in the upcoming potential class for 22, including one Andre Johnson. Your feelings, in or out?
Maybe not first ballot.
See, that's what a lot of people have said. But do you not also, because look, the names on the list, Tony Romo, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, Andre Johnson, DeMarcus Ware, punt and kick returner Devin Hester, amongst others. Did I see Mario Williams on that list?
Really?
I believe.
Jeez.
Yeah. Look, I mean,
has it been? No, it hasn't been that long since he played, right?
Let me check. I'm looking at all the guys.
Because I think
you got
to be out of the league, what, 5 years?
Let me do one more bit of checking before I misspeak. I don't want to misspeak on this, but I know that, you know, the big names are Romo, Boldin, Andre Johnson, but I mean, I don't, DeMarcus Ware even. I mean, I think those three receivers are going to be the head of the class. I just think that, what do you think on Romo? Did he win anything?
Good, always folded in playoffs. I don't know. I don't think so.
I think he's kind of like Eli, and I think it's kind of like what you said about Andre Johnson. Whether you believe in Andre Johnson as a ballot or it's going to take some time, I think especially as it relates to Eli, Romo, guys like that, I don't think he's first ballot. I think that he did a lot of good things. But I don't think he when you look at the body of work, did he do enough resume-wise to say that he should be first ballot or that he's a certified Hall of Famer? I'm in the camp of saying no.
Yeah, I think I'm on the side with you on that. I think he's done a lot. I think he'll eventually get in, but maybe not as a player.
Yeah, Mario Williams is on it. He's on the ballot.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think Romo probably goes in as a broadcaster later on in life.
I think he might get there. I think that, and obviously he changed the way everybody looked at that position, and he rejuvenated it and reinvented it to where he, as a former quarterback, the way he read defenses, the way he called plays before they happened, it's brought a spark kind of like Gruden did when he first got to the booth, and he kind of, you know, energized some different coaching ways of looking at things and bringing some stuff out of some guys and some commentary that people were attracted to. But of the eligible players, DeMarcus Ware, Vince Wilfork, the former Texan but the longtime Patriot, who defensive tackles are tough to get in, but he definitely warrants consideration as a guy that I think at some point is going to get in. Mario Williams, defensive end Robert Mathis.
That's crazy to me that he's on the ballot.
Yeah. Tony Romo, and I don't think Mario Williams will ever get in.
No.
Andre Johnson, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, who I think all three will end up being in there. And then you've got the guys that are still trying to get in. Leroy Butler of the Packers, Torrey Holt of the Rams, Sam Mills of the Saints, Zach Thomas of the Dolphins, Reggie Wayne of the Colts. Each have been finalists twice, so you got to believe that they're going to get more consideration as we proceed forward. So I don't know. I just think Andre is going to – I think the other thing they got to take into consideration with Andre, though, is the fact that he really was limited in who was throwing him the football. I mean, and take – Calvin Johnson. Take Calvin Johnson, too, Tyler. He had a lot of crap quarterbacks. You could penalize him for quitting early, too, because he said he was just beaten down. And he talked about even his first year when his acceptance speech about his back injuries and things like that. He also played for a crap team with not a whole lot throwing him the football. So if you take all those kind of things in consideration, he got in right away. Andre did enough for me to, and sure, I'm a little bit of a homer towards the Texans, too, but I think Andre gets in, and I could see him getting in this first class, not only because of those limitations he was forced to deal with, but also because if you look at the rest of this class, there's not a whole lot of guys that you're gonna jump out at you like Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson and the guys that just went in on this class. Yes, no?
Yeah. Okay. Agreed.
So, all right, so let us know what you think about there. I see you, Cody. You want to get here on Rockets? We'll jump back to that and get your call in next segment. If you guys want to get in on something else, let me know what you're thinking and let me know what you want to talk about. We'll work you in. 713-780-3776. Calls and texts on that HRNP listener line. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. I'm trying to do my best, Twitchers and tweets. I'm getting to them as I can, but solo here is a little bit more things to pay attention to, but we appreciate you being a part of the program. Back with more on the Press Box. Final hour of the show. It is ESPN.
You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, we're not messing around. We're rolling through the final hour of the program. 713-780-3776 gets you directly to us so that we can be talking about you and everything that you bring to the table. Patrick Creighton was supposed to be with us all week as we promoted last week. Unfortunately, Pat's a little under the weather. He gave us a little bit of a heads up this, I say heads up, but he gave us a notice this morning. And so with everything that we've got going on, we just decided the best thing to do was Tyler and I will get you through a Monday and we'll continue to roll through the final week of the Press Box before we get the new lineup set to launch on Monday. We gave you what that lineup was. We talked about a lot of different things, Astros, Texans, and Rockets. We'll get back to the Rockets now because Cody's been waiting patiently. He wants to talk about your team down there at the Toyota Center. Cody, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
You got it, man. What's on your mind?
So I'm just thinking, you know, we still have John Wall on the roster, and we have Jalen Green emerging. He's going to be in the Rookie of the Year conversation because of where he's drafted. Does it help to have a veteran like that to learn from, or is it time to give this young guy the keys and get John Wall out of here so he can focus on that Rookie of the Year and growing?
I wouldn't even, and Cody, thanks for the call. Look, I wouldn't even concentrate on Rookie of the Year. I had this conversation with several people in the NBA, ex-players and people that have held coaching positions and otherwise that are friends of mine in the last couple of days, and I've said this to you guys before. I don't think John Wall should be around this team. I think similarly to what we're talking about with Deshaun Watson, and it's a tough pill to swallow if you're Tillman Fertitta, But because you have such a young nucleus, because of the four 19-year-olds you drafted, and as I mentioned, are paired up with two guys that you discovered last year to be building block piece, three guys actually, when you talk about Jayshon Tate, when you talk about Martin Jr., and when you talk about Porter Jr. Now you're talking about eight easily influenced young kids that are trying to be developed by a franchise to turn into your future. The last thing you need is negative influences from crotchety veterans. And I take it a step further. I'll take it all the way to Christian Wood. And I told you guys, the people that I talked to, and the fact that what they told me was that, honestly, Christian Wood was not a happy camper. He was not a good soldier. He was not a guy, based on what he was making and what he was supposed to be doing, and he was hurt a lot, he was tough to deal with. And he was a problem in the locker room. Well, you already also saw, and we talked about it during the year last year, that John Wall, who said that when Harden was traded, this was now going to be his franchise. But when Christian Wood was open, and when Christian Wood later said that there were no plays being called for him, part of that had to be because John Wall wasn't giving him the ball. I pointed out over and over again, John Wall would look off Christian Wood. John Wall wants to be a guy that he's liking tweets in the offseason when there's rumors being floated out there about him being a Sixer, him being a Clipper, him being anywhere but in Houston, Texas, regardless of what he's making. I think it might be in the best interest of this franchise when you're developing these easily influenced young kids to tell John Wall, hey, man, if you're not going to be a happy camper, then stay home. And if there's some way, somehow, look, and I'd put the onus back on him. You want to go to one of those contending teams? Well, the starter and the ender and the deal breaker is your contract. You want to talk about a buyout? You want to talk about giving some money back, which Tillman would happily do, just to get you away from this team so that you can be happy and we can be happy? I'd be happy to do that. Unless you're willing to give back money and you're willing to go that route, then what am I willing to do to protect my young nucleus? I'll tell you right now, I don't want him to be a negative influence on this team. And I don't want Christian Wood to be that way either. So Christian Wood, there's a hard conversation between Rosetta Stone and Steven Silas, if you want him involved in it, and Christian Wood before the season even starts. Because he's already come out there and said he wants to be a max player on his next deal, that he thinks they should be, you know, basically making him the centerpiece. Well, you got two guys that are headed in that direction. That's Kevin Porter Jr. and that's Jalen Green. And you're going to be just fine. So the max contract ain't coming because you're going to need money to pay these kids when the time comes anyway. And you're not going to overspend for a guy that A, doesn't want to be here, and B, isn't going to get that max money he thinks he deserves. So he's got 2 years left. You have that conversation with him to find out if this is truly the way he feels or if he's going to have a change of heart and wants to build and grow with the young kids. You hope that it's the latter, not the first part of that. But if it is, then you know exactly where you stand and what you got to do. Even with Eric Gordon, you hope he finds a home and he's still got some value across the league. We saw that a contract we thought was untradeable as it relates to Eric Gordon isn't so untradeable now because of all the massive salaries that were kicked out even this offseason. So you can find a home for Eric Gordon, and then he won't be a disgruntled veteran that feels like he needs the ball in his hands and he needs some things and he's trying to find his next home where people still find value in him. Move him. He's easier to move than Wall. I think Wood would be a guy you could move if you wanted to, but you just have to have a conversation with him. But it's too fragile a situation right now with all the young guys you have on this team. You got a really good nucleus, as I said, and you've got some really good pieces to build and build around and grow with. But you don't want to stunt their development by letting them see how and being negatively influenced by veterans that aren't happy with their situation, regardless of the fact that they're getting paid handsomely. So that's where I would leave that one. That's what I think the Rockets should do. Now, I don't know that they will do that, but I also would like to know from John Wall's lips to my ears, are you willing to give us money back so we can talk about a buyout? And if you're not, are you willing to help us develop these young kids and let them learn from your experiences, positive and negatively, based on what you've had to persevere through injury-wise and how you can make them better players and what you learned when you were their age? If you're not willing to be that kind of mentor along the way, I don't have time for you. I don't want you. I've already committed enough money as I can to you. So that's what I'll say about that. All right, switching gears again, as we were talking about De'Aaron King and his NIL deal with the Florida Panthers, James wants to get on the conversation on that. James, welcome to the program. What's going on?
What's going on, guys, man? Always down for y'all's show. It gets me through the last part of the day, man.
I just wanted to see. I didn't kind of see where you were at. Like, if you're for or against it, could it actually sound like he's being very smart? He's branching out. He's getting like his hands in other, you know, building contacts and stuff. And I'm for it. I just didn't know where you kind of, you're for it or against it. You kind of seem like you didn't really say, yeah, you're about it or not. And I'm just kind of seeing where you stand with it.
Look, I'm all about these kids making money. And if there's an opportunity, I'm not going to sit there and tell any of these athletes that they should say no. I mean, if you got a team in another sport throwing cash at you, take it. Unless it's something that you totally are against because of your beliefs or otherwise and your values, then I have no problem with it. I think that the NCAA, is what I pointed out, is eventually going to have a situation they might have to deal with when you have multi-sport athletes and their deal is not in the sport that they are playing, but with their other sport, a franchise that actually is involved in their other sport. That's where it gets tricky. That's where I said the Yankees have done these kind of things before when Elway was threatening that he didn't want to play for, I think it was the Colts, and he was trying to push a trade. And then the Yankees drafted him and said, hey, you've got a way to get out of this. Well, maybe the next step in that is, hey, while you're still playing football, I'm going to sign you to a deal in which our baseball team endorses you with a wink, wink that, hey, remember who scratched your back when you were in college when you decide to switch sports? We're here for you. Think about us. That's all I'm saying. I'm never going to fault De'Aaron King for making as much money as he possibly can. And look, there's a lot of guys that are trying to make up for lost time, trying to make as much money as they can to try and capitalize on this new situation. I'm not mad at them at all for trying to make a dollar. Did I miss anything, Tyler?
I think we covered.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Pretty much everything, yeah.
I mean, I don't think we ever crapped on or said anything, you know, one way or another on De'Aaron King. I'm happy for the kid to make the money. It's just, I think it opens up somewhat of a Pandora's box in the future when you start talking about two-sport athletes and how it relates to what possibly could be their long-term future, because not every guy, when you have the athletic ability, you have options. And so maybe your first option, and you look at Chris Winkie, and you look at some of the guys, I mentioned Pat Connaughton, and back in the day with Dion and Bo and Frank Thomas, guys like that. Your first choice might not be your last choice. It might not be. So Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge was a third baseman for the Blue Jays and then eventually chose to go the basketball route. But while he was at BYU playing college basketball, in the summers he was playing minor league baseball in the Blue Jays system and getting paid. So there's a long history of multi-sport athletes.
Yeah, even Russell Wilson.
Exactly right.
He's been in Yankees camp. He's been in...
He was a second-round draft pick of the Rockies.
Yeah.
So he's had other opportunities. And so that's where I'm saying that the NCAA, as they made this whole ruling and allowed these NIL deals, at a certain point, maybe what they didn't think through is, what about multi-sport athletes?
Well, I think the more interesting thing is a professional sports team is choosing to sign a deal with a college player. Granted, it's not the same sport, but what if it was? What if it was a football team that actually, like, what if it was one of the Florida teams? How close, like, maybe it's the Dolphins, because he's playing at the U. They say, hey, sign on with us. We'll give you a deal for just endorsement type stuff, whatever. But then, does that make him think, oh, I'm going to go to the Dolphins whenever the draft comes around? Or is there kind of an under-the-table deal, hey, we will try and draft you, guarantee that?
I don't know this, but I got to believe if your NFL teams cannot sign NIL deals with college football players, I got to believe that they were at least smart enough to put that kind of fine print in there to go, that is tampering if you are a professional football team signing a college football player at said university.
I completely agree that it's tampering, but if that language isn't in there, then one of these kids, like their agent, will figure it out, and I don't know that they're going to go after any team and try and get them to sign in and be the first, but I mean, what if that does happen?
I mean, it's...
That kind of opens up a...
Here's the thing. We're talking about the NCAA, so no bets are off.
Okay? Yeah, this is all...
Anything is possible, right? Because the NCAA, we know, has not handled anything correctly or hardly the way it should have been in most cases when dealing with most situations. So we don't know what the NCAA does and doesn't have within the agreements for NIL, but you got to believe that even if they haven't thought through multi-sport athletes getting endorsement deals from their a professional team in their second sport, they had to think through, if I'm a professional team, I can't go sign an NIL deal with a kid that's playing the sport that our team plays because it's tampering. It has to be. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the NCAA is smarter than that, but who knows? We've got a half hour to go on the show, 30 minutes on the clock, so lots more we can still get to. If you guys want to chime in on that, let me know. In the meantime, we'll get to some other things along the way as well. But like I said, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and it's pressing before 4 o'clock, bring it to us. I've been checking on text. I've been checking on tweets. I've been checking on Twitch. So if there's something else that you want to get out there, we are all about it. 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter, we are available throughout the program. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I believe in good people doing good things for the Houston community in terms of their businesses. I only speak for those that I believe in. I believe in Fitz Roofing. I believe in my man, Corey, who is the president and the owner of the company. Why? Because he's genuine. Because he takes care of everyone that he comes in contact with from a business perspective. Whether you're doing it from a professional standpoint, you need a roof on your new business, or a leaky roof fixed, or you need something done to your house, or you need a fence in your yard, or some work done around your house from a home repair standpoint. They could do it all. But they do it because with the best backing. They're never going to be shady. They're not going to take your money up front and do like storm chasers that want your money up front and then don't do very good work. They're always going to do the best work in the business. You look at their ratings across the board from all the different Home Advisor. You can look at Better Business Bureau. You can look at anything you Facebook, all those things. Their ratings, top notch. When you look at their ratings across the business in terms of their warranties, better warranties than everywhere else. When you look at the products they use, the best in the business, starting with CertainTeed shingles. And you look at Corey, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofers Association. So you know he knows what he's doing, and people across the business have belief in him in the city. Why wouldn't you too? Go to FITZRoofing.com if you don't believe me and take a look at the website and see all the things that they can do for you, all the services they offer, and the people that believe in them like I do. Otherwise, just call them, 832-521-3001, because that sets up a whole different avenue for you. A free, no-obligation inspection. When they come to you and tell you what they can do, you tell them what the problem is, they tell you how they can help you. If you want them to come back, you just reach back out, and then before, during, and after the sale, you find out what so many people already know. There is nobody better than the people at Fitz Roofing. They're making a difference one home at a time.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, back on the box. Final half hour of the program. Rolling through, trying to cover a story or two along the way. We mentioned everything from the Hall of Fame class of 2022 with Andre Johnson in the mix and whether he gets in or not, to the 21 class that included Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson. Tom Brady was in attendance, which I thought was a very cool and classy move. And as much as I think a lot of people were trying to figure out if there was a personal avenue as to why he might have been there, I thought it was a nice touch. I mean, he's had a ton of battles over the years with Peyton Manning, and I thought it was a very cool thing, and also by the Buccaneers, that he was able to get away from Buccaneers camp in order to be there. But I got no problem with it. I'm really happy Charles Woodson got in. He was one of the last two big free agents Green Bay brought in, and he brought a title to Titletown. So I'm never going to be mad at Charles Woodson. His brother and I are good friends, and I've gotten to interact with Charles over the years and think he is just a class act on and off the field. So I was happy to see him get in from Cowboys fans' perspective, and we know there are plenty out there. The fact that Drew Pearson got in, I thought was a big deal for a guy that was so crushed every time he didn't get in, to see the raw emotions when he did, I thought was fantastic. He had liver injuries suffered in a car accident when he was 33. His career cut short. And again, we talk about some of the guys that got in, and it goes along the lines all the way back to Jim Brown quitting, Gale Sayers having to quit, Calvin Johnson quitting before his time, Barry Sanders, another Lion, quitting before he saw the end of his career and all the stats he could have racked up. I bring that to say, if Andre Johnson didn't have a quarterback that got him the football enough, that got him his stats as good as they were, as really good as they were, as great as they were, could have been so much better if he had a guy that could get him the football. And his touchdowns were always down. But I think that will factor in. And I think that Andre's going to get in. I'd love to see him get in with this class, because I don't think there's a lot of guys that knock your socks off when you say for 2022, except for some of the guys that continue to remain on the ballot that are making progress that may get in. But Tom Flores, the former coach of the Raiders, finally getting in was a good story as well. I really think that when you look at Drew Pearson, as I was mentioning, his career cut short. It was not the pass-happy era of football that we see now. But 88 for the Cowboys, when Roger Staubach was the quarterback, was always his go-to guy, and Drew Pearson was as good as any receiver in the league. And that was even in those Steelers-Cowboys rivalries. When you looked at the two 88s and you looked at Lynn Swann, you looked at Drew Pearson, those were the two dudes. So good that he finally got in. If you're a Cowboys fan, you got to be happy about that. So we had talked about that as well. And, of course, the signature headliner was Manning, and he got in, and he's very well deserving of that honor. And then there you have that. Deshaun Watson, from a local perspective, NFL-wise, after 5 days off, back at practice today. Don't know why. If you guys have any kind of feedback you want to get in, fine. I just don't think you should be anywhere near that team. And if it means just suck it up and say you're paying him but that you don't need him around, fine. And if you think that, because I don't know how the Players Association and the collective bargaining agreement is written, I don't know if you can send him home without having a legit reason, even though you're paying him, then let him sit on the sidelines without pads on and let him just be there and be a consultant. But I have no reason, and I think there's been plenty enough times in the NFL when guys have been asked to stay away from the team while still getting a paycheck, whether you're suspended or put on leave or not. I think the focus should be on this year's team going forward. I think he's a distraction, and I don't think I need to see him another day in a Texans uniform unless there's some crazy notion out there that, or some truth to the fact that they can reconcile and that he can suddenly try and play until this whole thing is solved. Then otherwise, I don't want to see him in a Texans practice uniform. I don't want to see him in pads, and I don't want to see him other than just if he has to be on the sidelines. We had talked about the Rockies fan that shouted what we thought was an offensive racially insensitive N-bomb. Instead, he was talking to Dinger, the Rockies mascot. So we had talked about that. Lamar Jackson back on the practice field after his second bout with COVID, but he said he's still iffy on the vaccine. We know everybody's got something to say about that. And that's basically in the football world what it comes down to. People were excited about that Rockets team in that first Vegas Summer League game yesterday. Jalen Green, 23. Where are you on the Rockets' perspective? I've voiced my opinions. I'd rather see Eric Gordon gone, though I don't think he's as big of a distraction or a problem as John Wall or Christian Wood. But I don't need to see either one of those guys right now. Unless you want to be a supportive veteran to this young core that they're developing, I don't want to see them be a negative influence on this team who's not going anywhere for a couple more years. So there's that. Otherwise, another concern as we talked about Lamar Jackson. But the Pacers-Wizards game was postponed yesterday because of another outbreak of contact tracing with COVID implications. So the Summer League even being affected right now for COVID decisions, as it was a game was put on hold for now. So there's that as well. We talked about the new lineup coming here to the station and the fact that that'll debut on Monday. Fred will still be a part of it. He just won't have a show. As Fred will periodically make appearances across the platform on all the different shows. We're getting all that information as we get. So
on that note, East End Backyard on Friday.
Friday, that's right.
Yep. To let the people know, I think I thought it was going to be only 4-7, but I think we are transitioning it to a summer circuit broadcast.
I was told that last week. Yeah. Just FYI, I was told that as part of the Fred going away party on Friday that we would be there as well, and I'm happy that we're going to be a part of that. So It looks like the summer circuit is going to be a Friday down in Edo at the East End.
East End backyard.
East End backyard. So we're going
to
have a fond farewell in terms of his on-air presence on a daily basis for Fred. But like I said, he will still be a part of all the shows and chime in time to time from gambling to football to other things. So that's good. That's worth noting for you guys as well. And again, I went over the lineup a couple of times, but if you missed it, the bench is going to be John and Lance still. But instead of Dell producing now, it's going to be Aaron Raybould. 10 to 12 is going to be the Palillo Show with Dell producing. Noon to 3 is going to be the Killer Bees with myself and Jeremy Branham with Dell producing. And then the evening show is going to be now from 3 till 7 called The Wheelhouse with Cody Stutes, Jake Asman, and Brad Kellner, along with Andrew Carlson producing. So that's the lineup. That's the news of the day. That's
Creighton's not going anywhere. And
Creighton's doing late hits, as always.
Yep. And Glenn Davis still doing Soccer Matters
because it does, according to Glenn. So Glenn will still be a part of it as well. So.
And Hall of Fame. Still got Hall of Fame as
well. Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad. So there you have that. I assume Moneyline safe on Sundays?
Moneyline's still there. I think Jerome's show is still going on. Any other shows? Drink of Ages on Friday night. Still there.
Safe to say everything stays the same with the exception of the changes mentioned with the 7 to 7 lineup. That's the best we can give you.
Yep.
So if you need anything else, holler one way or the other. You know the platforms, Twitch, Twitter, or HRNP listener line for calls and texts. We got one segment to go on the show. So we'll get to that in a minute. First, before we get to that, I want to get to Cars for Kids because, look, it's a phenomenal program, and it's all because of you guys and your donations. I know it's tough. I know the fact that a lot of people have a lot going on, and I'm not saying that everybody's got a car or a boat or a trailer or a motorcycle or something that they can donate. But if you got something laying around that maybe not even working anymore, sitting in a garage or a field or a driveway, and you don't want to pay any extra money to have it towed away, and you don't want to invest anything more than you've already invested, there's a way. Go to carsforkids.org, and you can find out that you can donate that vehicle, and it's going to make a difference. It's going to help kids to get a second chance at an education, and in the process, you can gain from it too, because one, it's a tax deduction. Two, they come to you to do what they're going to do. So therefore, they tow it away free of charge, and nothing comes out of your pocket. It costs you absolutely nothing. And then on top of all of that, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, and you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. So you actually benefit, and that's where the donation really takes shape and means a whole lot more, because your donation then is turned into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It may be book money. It may be bus fare. It may be whatever these kids may need so that they can just focus on their studies. And the fact that it's also going to benefit the Houston Can Academies, who help the kids to get the education, means the money is local. It stays local and it makes a difference. So you're really helping while they help you get something that's an eyesore off your property. It's just a fact that it keeps on giving across the board, and it starts with your donation. Again, carsforkids.org, 713-225-4226, and help out. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the kids. So right off the car, not the kid.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Well, I got scolded on text message. How do I talk about the Hall of Fame and not talk about Troy Polamalu? Troy Polamalu, Hall of Famer. You happy now? I can't talk about every single guy. I'm sorry. Edgerrin James, Hall of Famer. Okay? Are we okay now? Are we good? Can we progress? Congratulations to the 2021 NFL inductees into the Hall of Fame. How's that? Are we good? Okay, we can all breathe easy now and move forward. Excellent. We're having a discussion. So Astros off today. That's always good. Someone was talking about, they were talking about on Twitch, and I don't remember this, Tyler, or not, but they were talking about the paid gambling guys that used to come on all the time, too. And, you know, it's funny because I've always talked about the fact that Holly Saunders is someone that I've always felt is above average. And Holly Saunders went from national sports broadcaster, sideline reporter. She started out on I forget what it was called. It was the golf show in the morning on the Golf Channel. You're a golfer, Tyler. You should know this.
Morning Drive.
Morning Drive. That's right. So she was on Morning Drive. Then Fox Sports picked her up. And she was doing sideline on college football, working with, I think, Tim Brando's team. And then from there, they got some golf. And she played golf at Michigan State. And then she was, what was the guy that was on NBC's national radio? Eric Vasilius, I think it was. She got engaged to him for a while. And then his dumbass cheated on her. So they broke up. And she ends up dating this Vegas Dave guy later on. But Vegas Dave used to be in the early, before we called it the Usual Suspects, Vegas Dave was a regular making appearances with me, Barry, and Travis, depending on the day. Vegas Dave used to brag about, you know, I guess he made one call before the season one year on, I think, the Royals, and he cashed in, and he got a bag for that. But he used to talk about his clear backpack with all of his cash and all of his wins and everything like that. And we had him on every week, and he was taking L's across the board. And we weren't, and the guys would come in and say, now you can't ask him about any of the losses. Let's talk about his, I'm like, we got to be realistic though. I mean, we talked about games that he called wrong. And of course, Travis was like, no, hell no. So one day, it finally got to the point where no matter what we weren't supposed to ask him, Trap was like, hey Dave, let's talk about what you did last weekend. How were you on the game, this game and that game and this game? And he was pissed and he got silent. And all of a sudden, it was like, let's talk about blah, 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 blah games. So we got the games in that he wanted to talk about, and then he did it again. He took like an offer or close to it, and then he just quit showing up for his appearances. He didn't call in anymore. And I think he still paid for the sponsorship. That was it. That was the end of Vegas Dave until he resurfaced being quote-unquote engaged to Holly Saunders.
Wasn't she dating Kingsbury at one point?
Mm-hmm. She went from Eric
Vasilius, right,
to Cliff Kingsbury. And then after Cliff Kingsbury, again, from the time it happened, there were so many of us here that were like, wait, time out. This has to be like a wink, wink business decision. Because first of all, she's like close to 6 foot tall and he's like close to 5 foot tall. And then it just, for so many reasons, and then she left broadcasting completely, but said she had new ventures planned. And all of a sudden she resurfaces in Vegas and suddenly it's all about her website and her Twitter and her Twitch and her Instagram. And then whatever you call that, were you the friends only or whatever. And then only suddenly fans. She had her own website and her own content. And then it got a little bit racier and more seductive. And suddenly she was making a ton of coin just living off of all those platforms. And part of it was Vegas Dave was getting courtside seats to the Lakers game. And he used to bring, I guess, purses, like designer handbags that carried all of his cash, supposedly. But part of the deal was, like, he'd get courtside seats for the Laker games, but the purses had to be on the floor touching the wood. And she would carry in some of the purses. And then suddenly one day after she was all about social media, Vegas Dave is building this house in Cabo and we're living here and living large there and doing this. Then suddenly they were done. And then suddenly Vegas Dave was living at home with his parents. Funny how that all works. But you know what? It worked for her because she's still killing it in terms of social media and all that other stuff. So I will say this, though. At least the good thing was Eric Vasilius was a Packer fan and brought her to games at Lambeau. How about that? That's all I can say about that. So no more Vegas Dave. And Fred will be the guy that we have to talk about any kind of gambling things when that time arises. So we will act accordingly. But Fred will be making appearances across the platform with all the different shows periodically. He's also working on his own gambling site, which has been in the works for quite a while with him and Patrick Creighton and so many others. So that's something to keep an eye out for because that's been taking a bunch of his time and that's something that he's going to continue to do as well. And so he'll be friends of the shows. And so we try to answer as many questions as we could and comments from you guys as it related to all that stuff. But we'll have more tomorrow as we continue to roll through the week. I don't know if Creighton's going to be back or not. So I don't know. I'll talk to Pat tonight.
I think the way he was talking, he will be able to tough it out tomorrow.
Okay.
Today may have been a little rough.
Yeah, so he had a rough day today, but hopefully he's better tomorrow. He had texted both of us on the side that he just felt awful that he couldn't make it. So we give him some R&R and some hopefully a chance to get a little better, and hopefully he'll be back tomorrow because he had plenty he wanted to say and get into conversations with us about, and you guys too. And so we look forward to having Pat back for the rest of the week. And like Tyler mentioned, Late Hits is still going to be a staple of the lineup here at the station, so you can always rely on Pat to get you through your evenings, as well as Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters. Astros back at it tomorrow, 2-game series with the Rockies. Texans, first preseason game at Lambeau next weekend. So that's something that they're gearing up for, our first chance to actually see and talk about things other than Deshaun Watson as it relates to actual players on the field and the quarterback position. And if Davis Mills could throw it to someone in red, white, and blue, and if Tyrod Taylor or Tyrod is the guy, we'll find a little bit more of that. Dr. Dran 290 says he'll come through if we need someone. We're never going to be that desperate, Trey. You've already been trying to wear the executive producer hat for years, and that hasn't worked out so well. So why promote you anymore at that point? Even on the Jet on Twitch followed up with executive producer Dre. It's what I've been calling him for a long time, Tyler. He has taken the hat and run with it too much sometimes, but we love him, and we love all the listeners, so we appreciate the loyalty throughout the way, but we'll continue to keep up our Twitch. They're a little bit sensitive on YouTube, Tyler. They said you don't interact with the peeps and talk to the peeps on Twitch.
Are they new here?
I mean, someone else said whoever the second voice is needs to up his game. He needs to start talking a little bit quicker and better and all this other stuff, and I'm like, yeah, do they not know who you are?
Yeah. Have you listened to the station at all? I've never been a, hey, what up, Twitch? I've never been that guy. I never really cared to be a host. I was more focused on doing production stuff, and still am. So.
And look where it's got you.
Yeah.
I mean, you continue to do the things you need to do, and that's important. And so, look, I coming off laryngitis, I wasn't exactly jazzed about soloing it with you today because I knew that you'd be focused on a bunch of stuff, but we made it through, and we'll make it through the rest of the week. Yeah, and it worked just fine, and we're going to do it the rest of the week, so we appreciate you guys being a part of it because a lot of your comments made for discussions that we had and had throughout the show. So that's what we're going to do again tomorrow, and we're going to do the rest of the week, and then the new lineup starts on Monday. So if I can answer any more questions or get to you guys, you can always follow me on Twitch at PacManJoel on Twitter. And we'll get as many as we can. So shout out to everybody that had a part of the program today, all you guys that participated as boxers. And as we continue to move forward, support the lineup. It's going to be fun. We're going to make it a good thing as we continue to press on. So have a good rest of your night, everybody. Tyler and I will be back tomorrow. Hopefully Pat will too, but hopefully you guys will be because you make the show go. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Press Box, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!